Good afternoon and welcome to Whose Cares Wins on channelradio.co.uk. My name's Jo Mulligan and we have a fascinating topic today on integrated workplace health and wellbeing. Before we get to that, just a couple of updates to give you. On last week's show with our wonderful guest Miriam McGuirk, we had a gifted signed copy of her book, Josie Maguire's Tales from Turkey. Lots of people entered. The hat was drawn, or the winning entry was drawn from the hat even. And the winner was Emily Curzon Baker. So there's a copy of the book signed by Miriam whizzing its way to Emily. And when Emily receives that, she'll be having a photo taken and sending that back to us so we can share that with everybody. We're into week four of Angela's trip down under, and she's not been able to be in contact as frequently as she would have liked because apparently internet, broadband, whatever you want to call it, down under is not quite as free and easy to get as it is in the UK. So Angela's done her best. She's gone into hotels, she's gone into internet cafes. What she thought was free Wi-Fi turns out quite often to be 5 minutes or 10 minutes worth. So she's not been able to upload things, but she's with us in spirit. And if you want to follow her trip, her Twitter handle, AJBAngela, for all her photos and updates. So we're thinking of you, Angela. Send some lovely photos of the sunshine, and we're not at all jealous. But in Angela's hot seat today, I have with me Victoria Mansfield. Hello, Victoria.
Hello.
And Victoria's background's in HR, facilities, office management, you name it, you've done it.
No, jack of all trades.
And so Victoria's joining me today to help me out and to quiz our guest. We're putting him on the hot seat. We have with us today Stephen Haynes. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Jan. Hello, Victoria.
Now, you've got a man of many hats, so whilst the topic is the integrated workplace health and wellbeing approach, you come at that from lots of different angles. So we've been tweeting during the week. You have the health and wellbeing movement, the workplace health and wellbeing movement.
Yes.
You have Navigator Health, and you have MyPins. So there's three categories of health and wellbeing for workplace that we're going to tap into today.
Yes.
They may be talked about on their own. They may be talked about together. We'll explore that as we go. But so that we can set the scene, could you give us, our listeners, a bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to workplace health and wellbeing?
Sure, yeah. Well, actually, my background is completely different. Whilst I've been doing this for 20 years, I started leaving school with no qualifications, having no idea what to do, ended up working as an administrative clerk for a health insurer, and then just fell in the right place at the right time. I met the right people. I went through marketing. I went to college, studied a diploma in marketing, and then studied in film for a little bit. And then gradually moved on through various different guises within the workplace health and wellbeing arena, and ended up going self-employed. Right. I have a family that, I come from a family of entrepreneurs, if you like, and I think I was the only person that was employed.
Okay. There's no pressure on you, though.
So I'd always had a passion for doing things slightly different in workplace health and joining things up, or becoming the glue, if you like, and doing integrated health. And Navigator had been my passion for the last 5 years, never really had the courage to do it. And a year ago, I came out of my previous employment and thought, okay, I either go and get another job or I set up my own business. I thought this was the time to do it.
Right.
And I haven't looked back. It's been a bit of a ride.
Mm-hmm.
My family have suddenly been put through the motions, but it's
right.
it's been so exciting, and it still is very, very exciting.
Excellent.
I absolutely love what I do, and I wouldn't look back on anything.
Yeah, I think from experience myself and from a lot of our listeners, but also guests we've had on, taking that step to set up your own business and follow your passion is both exciting and scary at the same time in equal measure. And to a year on, you're still there, you're still building. Yes?
Yes,
he's nodding, folks. So that's the main thing, because a lot of people stumble early, so that's a brilliant thing. You're on the build. But let's now find out, so Navigator Health, what is Navigator Health?
So Navigator Health is primarily a data aggregator.
Wow.
So
what's that mean?
We do two things. We integrate all things to do with health and well-being, and we do that because we want to simplify things.
Right.
Health and well-being. The challenge with workplace health is we have so many different suppliers, services, benefits, and it's fascinating. It's a fascinating arena. The challenge is it's very difficult to really get to grips with the health and well-being of the workplace when you've got so many different variations. It's very sporadic. It's very piecemeal. So we help companies bring that all together into one simple program.
Right.
So we work with a variety of employers, and we work with their suppliers and services, and basically glue them together and fill in the gaps where there are pitfalls, and we basically provide a seamless journey for the employee.
Right.
And that's very much the vision of our team, is providing a coach, counsellor, and advocacy role, if you like, for the end employee. So if I've got a healthcare issue as an employee, what I don't really want to worry about is, well, do I use the NHS? Do I call my medical insurer? Do I use my cash plan? Do I call the employee assistance program? Who do I turn to? It's very much, you know, if I have a healthcare issue, I just want it resolved. And, you know, I want one point of contact that's going to guide me throughout that journey.
Right.
That's what Navigator does. So our health navigators, who are based out of our head office in Runcorn, provide that role and that facilitation. So they're very much advocate, coach, and counsellor for the individual. Whilst the other part of what Navigator does is the data aggregators. So our dashboard enables us to pull together the data from all the various different sources.
When you say dashboard, this is a software program?
Yes.
Right.
So we enable companies to bring everything together into one place. So a company can review their employee assistance data, their occupational health data, their medical insurance data, everything all in one place, and then have one result off the back of it.
Right.
The challenge we have with workplace health is, if we take, let's say, employee assistance programs, which are a phenomenally powerful and important service for workplace, the challenge is few people will be aware of them, a few people will use them for a variety of reasons, whether that's the British stiff upper lip,
or whether I'm fine.
Or whether it's, you know, I didn't know we had that. What a great service. You know, through to medical insurance, which is largely overused because people know about it. If they have it, they will use it. Whereas we tend to find about 1 in 5 cases wouldn't necessarily need to go through the medical insurance. And it could be quite happily done through the NHS. So we help manage all areas, but it's putting together all that data into one central source so the employer can see everything holistically.
Right.
And that's the key here, because what the EAP data is going to show you, sorry, the employer's data.
Thank you.
Compared to, say, let's say a health risk assessment we may do at the workplace, which may not have everyone using or everyone completing, through to the medical insurance data, which, let's say, for example, you know, not all staff are covered under it, they're all going to show various different pictures of the overall health profile. So by pulling it all together, we get a much more holistic picture. And that's the key thing. So the Navigator Health, what we provide is whether an employer has no benefits whatsoever,
right,
through to a company which is very benefit rich. It's essentially filling in the gaps there and plugging and bringing everything together. Right through to the company with nothing, we're providing them with a seamless journey. So essentially providing everything, that coach, counsellor, advocacy role coming in, kicking into play, managing them through the NHS, providing them with coaching services. You know, it could well be that I call up, and because our team take very much a biopsychosocial approach, we look at everything. So if you were to call our team, Jan, I think it's very unlikely you look a very healthy person.
I hope I stay that way, but you never know.
Your journey would look very different to, say, Victoria's, for example, and you would call us, and that health navigator is going to understand, really look under the skin, really understand what's driving you, what are your challenges, what are your issues, and then find the right course of action, the best route for you, and really hold your hand throughout that entire journey. So, you know, it may well be 2 weeks into your treatment. We know, you know, that you've gone for a scan today, but normally what do? We go home, we talk to our partners. Our health navigators will proactively contact you. You know,
right.
How did it go? Do you have any questions? Are you happy with the outcomes? What can we do?
Okay.
So it's really holding your hand throughout that entire journey.
And so is this for any size of company?
Yeah.
What would the smallest, do you think, you'd deal with?
Well, look, we're working with a client at the moment that has just over 150 staff.
Right.
So that would be the smallest. We would work with smaller companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not really tied to any size.
Right.
And to be honest, between the three of us,
I guess I'll listen. Nobody's listening, it's okay.
You know, I have a real passion for this. So, you know, if we did have a 5-man company scheme, we're not going to turn them away.
Right, okay, so that's good to know. Listeners, he doesn't know you're listening, but if you are a 5-man team and you want some assistance, you can still contact Stephen. What's your ideal company? If you were going to focus on one area, Is there a certain culture of company that you think, yes, they're going to get us, they're going to benefit most, or do you find the variety is what's special?
Yeah, in fact, we set up on the premise that we're almost certainly going to attract companies with big absence issues, mm-hmm. or we're going to attract companies with issues where they want to control insured healthcare spend costs. And actually, it's not worked out that way at all.
Right.
our clients are the companies that are coming to us. Dramatically, absence is usually a big driver for them. And usually it'll be we have specific issues. We have the old case off, we've got employees off on long-term sick. So it's a real mixed bag.
Right. And from what you've said there, I can approach you to look at my complete company and take on everything. Can I also just ask you to do one aspect?
Yes, you can.
Yeah? So literally
not
I can...
Personally.
Not you personally, no. So I can cherry pick what you do. And would that involve having, obviously if I cherry pick, I presume I would just pay for that one service. But if I were taking more, is it a per service fee or is it an annual fee? Don't have to get into nitty gritties at this point, because obviously, as you said, it depends on the nature of the company. But do you have a rolling annual agreement that somebody could sign up to?
That's right. We do, Jen. We have we generally charge an employer a cost per employee
right.
service. Which ranges depending on the level of service mm-hmm. required. So if it's a company which requires a total integration of a wide range of health benefits and services where there's a lot of work involved in terms of process and setups, then that would cost more than,
right.
say, a company with, say, 150 employees that just wanted to provide health navigation to all their employees.
Gotcha.
That coach counseling advocacy role would cost a lot less.
Sure.
So it really does vary. And again, we do provide ongoing piecemeal services to companies and when they come through to us.
Right, okay. And any plans? So you've been going the year and it's going very well. Are you looking to expand, looking to take on new services? What might be the next stage?
Well, it's when we first started, it was all about integration. It was all
right.
about the system piece.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're moving more into the health navigation. And more recently, and I'll thank Ben McGannon from the Wellbeing People for this tip.
Right.
A few months ago, we started what is called the Navigator Health Check, which essentially is our team will look under the hood of your business and provide you, if you like, with your ideal roadmap to
uh-huh.
create your
okay.
optimal workplace health program.
Right.
Whether you've got absolutely no budget or whether you are very, very budget rich.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide that, and that's been going quite successfully.
Excellent. And you mentioned earlier that you would assign a caseworker, somebody to an individual to guide them through the process. Can you also put them in touch with services? So if, for example, they needed an ergonomist. I don't know why that came to mind. Is that something that you would facilitate?
Do you know any?
I might.
Absolutely. So we work with, obviously both with local health authorities and we work with the existing incumbent private providers as well. So.
Right.
Essentially, our role in many cases is to signpost and make sure people are using the most, getting the most out of what they've either already got,
mm-hmm.
paid for, funded by the employer, or whether there's something independent, or whether it's through the local health authority or NHS.
Right. And do you find that people are keener to use one route over another? Are people still very loyal to the NHS, or is it more that, I'm not well, I have a problem, just get this sorted as quickly as possible?
Do you know, it's interesting. Given my original background was private health insurance,
mm-hmm.
what we find with Navigator is actually people are less concerned about, I talk on my experience and our clients' experience, our listeners may have completely different, but we tend to find that actually people don't really care or are less concerned about who's providing the treatment. It's
right.
just making sure that are they comfortable, they're getting the right treatment, and are they on the right path.
Right. Okay, I think that's a perfect point to play a bit of music. And I should say that all of our music tracks today have been selected by Stephen. This first one is very interesting. You might recognise the music because I'm sure it's been used either for a television programme or an advertisement of some kind. But then you probably won't understand the words. We'll explain more after this. Correction on the music track, this one is in English.
consequence against you. A weak defense, then there's me. I'm 17, looking for a fight. All my life, I was never there.
So, only 15 minutes in before the first mistake. I don't think that's too bad. I promised you an interesting track. That was an interesting track, but not the one I was expecting. So that was City of Angels by 30 Seconds to Mars. We have the interesting non-English track coming up in a moment. But we were chatting during the break, as we always do, and Victoria had a question for Stephen.
Yes, Stephen, is your service nationwide?
It is, yes.
And I'm going to supplemental to that one.
Yeah.
The Orkneys?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Our service is 99% delivered by telephone.
Right.
Ah, that was my next question. Do you have to visit your clients, or is your service telephone or online?
Well, so far to date, it's all been done by telephone. And when we work with the incumbent providers, whether it's occupational health, for example, then we'll tap into the existing resource. So, I mean, with our clients, we've never actually had our clients change existing suppliers. We've just been plug and play, if you like, with a net which right. sits around everything that's already in place. And we become the first port of call for that employer.
Okay. And I'm based on that with my disability hat on. I'm going to say if you have had, or if you get one in the future, a client who either can't use a telephone or has literacy problems and therefore can't use email, you have the capability to visit?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's always a way around, is what I'm trying to get at there.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Excellent. So no reason not to use you so far. We're trying. we'll find one.
And looking for one?
No, no, just teasing. Right, so we did promise the man of many hats, and we're going to gently move on to your second hat, which is you set up the workplace health and wellbeing movement. Now, I love the word movement there. That makes it sound so we're on a campaign, we're going to get things going. Tell us about that, how that came about.
Well, it all sounds very dramatic, doesn't it, when we say movement. Well, it's literally May, June last year. I'd always had the passion or vision to set up a networking group, and there were lots on LinkedIn, and I thought, it's not really ideal because I can't really interact, and there was nothing really that sort of fitted me around before or after work, and actually meeting people was what I really wanted to do. I mean, I've got a real passion for learning. So I set up the movement. Quite literally, we started in the back room of a pub with, I think, our first meeting had 12 people.
I think the best meetings are the back rooms of a pub. Always.
I don't drink, so I wouldn't know.
No, neither do I, but the atmosphere's good.
I do.
You do. Gin and tonic for the lady on the right. So 12 people in the back room of a pub.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. It was a wonderful experience. In fact, off the back of that one meeting, I met three other people who we then, you know, we almost subsequently went off and set up a completely different business off the back of it, which I think hopefully they are out there still down that route. But it's been a great way to meet and get people talking together. And more importantly for me, and my passion for the movement was bringing people from cross skills in the healthcare workplace health industry, if you like our collective industry, whether that's occupational health or ergonomics, private health insurance, life assurance, whatever it may be, but getting everyone to talk and think much more holistically. And that was a great thing because, you know, we were quite literally represented by every single group at that first meeting.
That's fascinating.
And then a few months in, we went to about 30 or 40 members, and I remember thinking at this time, crikey, is this really going to work? You know, 30 mm-hmm. people, should I just drop it now? I was getting, and the last thing I wanted is to get embarrassed by, you know, the lack of members. Maybe no one likes me. So and I remember speaking to a peer of mine who'd set up a similar group called the Health 2.0, which is, I think, the movement and the Health 2.0 are some of the largest networking groups through Meetup that are related to health and health at work. And I remember speaking to one of my peers there, and I said, look, I've got 30 or 40 members, and we've been going 4 months. You've got 600 members. What am I doing wrong? Mm-hmm. And he said, we had a year after we started, we had 25 people, and we were still meeting in the back of the pub. So in 3 or 4 months, you've got...
You've done really well.
Yes. So today we now have just over 200 members. We've got 5 chapters around the country, and we have 6 people running them. I just look after London.
Right.
But we have people like Claire Rafferty, Fiona McNair, Peter Barnard, Samantha Colshaw Robinson, Anne McCracken, running their respective movements around the country. Most recently, we've done an event with Salford University, which had Britain's Healthiest Company attend. Mm-hmm. The London office, or the London movement, I should say, recently did an event at the London Mayor's office, which was very, very well attended, which was talking about the Workplace Charter, which was a fantastic event. And coming up in, where are we now, in beginning of March, we're working closely with Croydon Borough Council in their initiative, their Healthy Workplaces Initiative, which is run by a lady called Teresa Dent-Gator, who does some fantastic work on health at work and has already steered Croydon Borough Council to achieving charter status for the Workplace Health Charter.
Excellent.
And she's now helping other companies, particularly SMEs in the Croydon Borough, to achieve that. So the movement's there to help support that. So I'll be speaking at that event. So I'm looking forward to that.
So let me backtrack. So questions just pinging all over the place. So firstly, the movement is a face-to-face meeting networking opportunity.
Yes.
You mentioned while you were talking there through Meetup.
Yes.
What is Meetup?
Meetup is it's an online networking group that enables you to create your own groups.
Right.
I think the Workplace Health Movement's almost getting to the point where we're starting to outgrow Meetup, because Meetup works very, very well for particularly for SMEs and for people that want to set up more social groups. So it's brilliant. If you want to set up, you know, a local cinema outing group, I think it's fantastic. Uh-huh. And it's been great for the workplace health movement, helping get off the ground. So it's a good way of getting out there. And there are other things like, in fact, funny enough, the MyBins tool.
Right.
Things like okay. Eventbrite as well.
So at the moment then, the movement is set up on Meetup. So if somebody wants to join the movement, they go to the Meetup website.
Absolutely. And just type in Workplace Health.
Workplace Health, okay.
And we'll probably be the number one.
Fantastic. So they sign up. Is there a joining fee?
No.
Is there an attendance fee?
There could be, depending on where the event is. I don't think we've actually charged to date, but you could do.
Right, okay. So potentially then, I go on to Meetup, I join the Workplace Health and Wellbeing Movement. What happens next? Am I presented with a vast array of choices to go to, or I'm sent an email?
Yeah, so once you're a member, you're involved in the networking group, so we'll involve you in any communications, and also we'll invite you. You'll automatically receive invites to the next event. So typically we have about one event each month across each chapter.
Right, okay. And how do you choose your events? Does somebody volunteer or...?
Oh, very. How do I choose my events?
How does the individual chapter, you've got an event a month, how is it decided what the event is going to be?
Usually it'll be on what's hot at the moment.
Right. And venues, do they change?
Absolutely, yeah. So sometimes they'll be sponsored. So right. Punter South for Health and Protection, a leading intermediary, they hosted an event alongside Mind. Mm-hmm. We had Paul come along to speak at that back in December. Obviously, the Mayor's Office hosted the event in December. Salford University hosted the event in January up in Manchester. And sometimes suppliers, sometimes we'll look for a venue.
Right. So we're based in Kent. Is London the closest chapter to here?
It is at the moment, but I have been approached about setting up a separate Kent chapter.
Right.
Now that I live here.
Exactly. We've enticed you to the dark side, Kent. So I actually signed up last week to have a quick look at the site. So I have to declare my allegiance now. But if I, based in Kent at the moment, so London at the moment would be my closest one. I haven't gone into it too deeply, but if I wanted to go to one in Manchester, say I was travelling and I thought, oh, is there something available? Am I linked into London and therefore... is difficulty attending somewhere else? Can I get information about everywhere?
Absolutely. And you would, from a technical perspective, mm-hmm. you would have to join the Manchester chapter in order right. to in order to sign up. But there's nothing to stop you from doing that.
Right. So I can join as many chapters as I want.
Absolutely.
Currently still free of charge.
Yes.
We like free of charge.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
I okay. can't actually imagine there ever being a charge for the movement.
The movement, right. So as you say, it's likely to be... if you have to hire a venue or hire
yes.
a speaker or something, then you might ask for a contribution. Okay. So you mentioned at the start that a big mixture of people turned up at that first event. If I'm sitting at home with my different hat on, I'm Fred, I work in the exercise business, am I tempted to join? What's going to attract me? Am I the right person for this?
Indeed. We have a mixture of members, everything ranging from HR directors. We have, oddly or not, we have some finance directors as members. We have many suppliers. We have people from the health protection insurance industry, and we have people from, let's say, the occupational health side as well, and we have ergonomic practitioners as well.
Excellent.
More recently, I noticed.
Well, I think one joined you last week.
But we average, usually I see about sort of 5 to 10 new members each week.
Right. And if once somebody's joined and they're interested, you've already said you've been approached to set a Kent branch up. Can anybody do that? Do they have to be a member for a certain amount of time?
Not at all, no. It's I would say every other week someone else will approach me about thinking about setting up a movement. Could we do it?
Right.
We had interest from Washington, Los Angeles and New York.
Oh, going global.
I think would be fantastic if we could, because I mean, workplace health is health.
Yeah, absolutely.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah. There are things we can learn from other countries and likewise things we can share. And that's our whole mission is about sharing knowledge and experience
right.
amongst our peers.
Excellent. Well, I think time for that promised track. I can see Victoria looking at me. We have some tweets on the horizon. We'll come to those after this next piece of music. So you'll need your, I think it might be Norwegian dictionaries at the ready for this one. We'll explain more after the track.
Change for Life is about making changes to be healthier, like getting off 5 a day. It's not hard. Often we're halfway there and don't realise it, like a banana in our cereal, glass of fruit juice at breakfast or veg in our soup. Even tinned, dried and frozen count. It's easy to be food smart. For tasty 5-a-day ideas and recipes for cheap, healthier meals, search Change for Life online.
Channel Radio. And welcome back to Who Cares Wins. So that... Anybody who knows the words to that, we welcome you on as our Norwegian translator. But basically, one of the verses from it, if it's a verse, I think, it says, jump into puddles with no boots on, completely drenched, soaked, with no boots on. It's about just enjoying life. And if you search for Hippopola, that's Hoppipolla on YouTube, there's a very interesting video that goes along with that. So we've had some tweets during the show. We're aware that Miriam McGuirk, our lovely guest from last week, is tuned in and listening. Hello, Miriam. Hope you're enjoying the show. And we've had a retweet from Jules from Scoff and Quaff. So thank you for that, Jules. Jules's show, Scoff and Quaff, is on Tuesdays, 11 a.m, I believe. She'll correct me if I'm wrong, but tune in tomorrow for all things food, hence the name Scoff and Quaff. So we're back in the studio with Stephen Haynes, the man of many hats, and we're now about to talk about his third hat, which is consultancy services. And you're currently working with the organisation MyPINS.
That's right.
And we were talking in the break because I had, again, a bit of my homework, searching online, came across it. Wasn't totally sure what it did, but it seemed to be you find an activity, you book an activity, and you pay for an activity. But it's not open to the public at the moment. It's a sort of a secret world that we're introducing into the workplace. And you're looking at large corporations for this, yes?
Absolutely. So with MyPINS, they're already working with a number of large organisations. But I guess, firstly, the reason why I got involved with MyPINS was the big challenge with workplace health is around engagement. You know, right. If you talk to any supplier, provider, it is all about how do you engage workforces, mm-hmm. You know, whether you're talking about promotion and use of an employee assistance programme or whether you're looking at online or face-to-face health risk assessments, you always tend to engage the health engaged. You know, it's, you know, mm-hmm. It's that 20-80-20 rule. You know, the 20% of people who are health engaged, very active, will go to the gym. Then you've got your 60% on the fence in the middle. And, you know, well, yeah. Hands up, that will be me. You know? And then you'll have your 20% far extreme, mm-hmm. You know, the people 20 marbles a day in front of their PlayStations. Okay, I exaggerate, but
yeah.
The trick is, you know, how do you provide solutions which engage all of them, right. And make it easier? And, you know, across all the research that I've been involved in and worked with, you know, the number one success factor here is about providing tools which engage people, that buy into, you know, the social interaction, team-based activities. And what MyPINS is doing, and what I believe what it will do, is revolutionise, you know, the concept of sports and social clubs within organisations. It will enable people to create and organise their own activities and events. You know, companies can allow staff to host their own events,
right.
Whether that is Steve Haynes wants to host his own chess club working at B Sky B, or whether it is Jam wants to set up the golfing tournament, mm-hmm. within ABC Limited or whatever it is. The goal is to bring people together from various different organisations or various different departments within the business.
Right.
We do tend to work in silos in organisations, and, you know, we know people within our teams, but, you know, do we know people across the business?
Yeah. So historically, a company might have actually had a sports and social club with a ground, cricket at the weekends, squash courts, whatever. That's really, unless you're a very big company, that's really gone by the board, because people needed to sell the ground to reinvest in the company. So MyPINS presumably puts people in touch with venues, events, arounds, as well as organising the chess club within the canteen?
Absolutely. I mean, the tool is very flexible, enables a company to create effectively their own corporate network.
Right.
And they can do with it what they please. You know, the end goal is to get people together. But more importantly, what MyPINS can do is data. And data is king. You know, and, you know, whether it's Navigator integrating all that data together, or whether it's MyPINS here, actually, you've got a real reason to generate activity, get people coming together. Therefore, you've got something which is going to generate significant volumes of data. What do my people want? What are they interacting in? What interests them? But also not being Big Brother. You're not, you know, digging down into the detail of all, you know, what's your age, what's your mm-hmm. gender, but it's just very, very high-level data. But it enables a business to see what people do engage in.
Right. So I'm Jan Mulligan Incorporated, and I have 500 staff, 1,000 staff. What would
really?
Be the smallest? I know, big plans. What would be the smallest company at the moment that you're looking to target?
Well, we're working with a lot of the FTSEs. So we're We're targeting large organisations, right. But equally, I'm sure Teresa at Croydon Borough Council won't mind us saying in that she's using the MyPINS tool for SMEs,
right.
Which, again, is a fantastic opportunity right now because it means to get SMEs within the local authority together, engaging, talking, is fantastic. You know, you can get John from ABC Limited getting to know Bill from XYZ Limited just around the corner. Yeah. They've never met. They've never had a reason to meet before. But actually, no, they both like playing badminton. And now they can meet because they're meeting through one tool, effectively a Croydon-branded tool. So it's fantastic to bring people together, get people much more active.
Absolutely. So the benefit to organisations, the large organisations, is the health and well-being of the workforce. But for SMEs, it's activity networking.
Absolutely. And yeah, the big challenge here is what people do engage in.
Right. And who runs the events bigger than, you know, if they want to go and play badminton, how is MyPINS offering that badminton to them? Is it the local sports centre? Is it a private club? How do they tap into what's out there in the world?
So MyPINS work with pretty much all the suppliers around the country, so people can tap in and MyPINS will plug in local activities within the area. With Croydon, for example, they already have a very well-established sports and social initiative, so effectively they'll be tapping into the existing resource, and MyPINS becomes another vehicle to get their activities out to all of their customers.
Mm-hmm. And as an organisation, am I, again, coming back to sort of the financial side, am I paying an annual subscription? Am I paying a search fee? How does that work?
It varies. With MyPINS, there are a number of options.
Right.
There is a free option and there is a paid option. The free option the paid option enables the organisations to very much tailor the site, have access to a wider number of activities. The free option is essentially makes any company have the option to build in their own social network and tool into their business. So right. It's great.
So you mentioned, it was Teresa, was it, in Croydon?
Yes.
Yeah. She's putting SMEs together and using MyPINS to help with that.
Yes.
If we've got ABC in Runcorn and we've got XYZ in Sheffield and they actually want to get together and to do an intercompany tournament of some kind. Mm-hmm. Can they see each other? Do they know they're there?
I love how your mind's thinking. Already you're well ahead. Absolutely. Yeah.
So you can see other members, or is it closed to your organisation?
It depends how the company wants to set it up. So right. if you have a multi-sided company, then they could effectively do it as they will. They could mm-hmm. set up so they have individual pockets within each site, or they could set it up so they could, if you like, have a nationwide championship.
Right.
And that championship can be tailored to them. So MyPINS have in-house experts and health and wellbeing specialists that effectively can build those for the organisation, or the organisation could go ahead and do it themselves.
That was actually going to be my next question. Who is you are the health and wellbeing face of MyPINS. That's the consultancy you're offering to them. What else? Who else is behind MyPINS?
So I'm very blessed and fortunate to be working with a wonderful team. So they have a great marketing team.
Right.
They have a great event and supplier team. So some real experts, you know, that have come from, you know, spent many years in this field. And also it's run by, I think, you know, very, very forward-thinking entrepreneur,
okay.
Anthony Franklin.
And this is a UK-based and owned business?
Yes.
Yeah. Have they got global plans? We're looking for world domination. We already know that your movement's going abroad. Your Navigator Health can go as far as the Orkneys. But if they can do that, you can do France, you can do Europe, you can expand. So is MyPINS looking?
Well, I hope I don't get shot for saying this, but yeah, the platform can be used anywhere. It
right.
has no regional boundaries.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very much about saying, I'm here, what can I do?
Right.
So it could work in the States, it could work in Europe, it could work in the UK, it doesn't... There are no geographical boundaries. So, yes, I could see the platform going global.
Excellent. So you mentioned that Teresa in Croydon, we're going to keep promoting Teresa in Croydon because I think she's doing brilliant work. if there's somebody else out there, so there's somebody in Sittingbourne Council who thinks, oh, I could be Teresa, but in Sittingbourne, who do they contact if they want to try and link their SMEs through MyPINS?
I guess right now, just go to the MyPINS website,
right.
MyPINS.com, MyPINS.com, and click the contact us button.
Okay. So you heard it here, folks. This is of any interest to you, it's MyPINS.co.uk.
Com,
just checking. We like to keep you on toes. We're going to take another music break, and an English one this time. Again, chosen by Stephen. It's another 30 Seconds to Mars track. Join us in a moment.
desperate and broken. The sound of a fight. Father has spoken.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins. So I've been saying all afternoon that Stephen is a man of many hats, and we've had three so far, but during the break he told me of two more. So firstly, as you've tapped on earlier, your thirst for knowledge, and you're studying for an MSc.
Yes.
What's that with? Who's that with? What's that about?
So that's a Master's in Workplace Health out of Nottingham University.
Excellent. So you're based in Kent, studying at Nottingham. I'm assuming this isn't a daily attendance, because you don't look that tired. How often do you need to go up there?
So, actually, only once so far, and that was when I started it back in September.
Right, okay.
And it's all remote, but it's there's a lot of work involved.
I can imagine. Is there an exam at some point, or is it totally coursework?
All coursework.
Ooh, need an exam.
But it's
people have to suffer for their art.
It is like someone has written a course specifically for me, though. It's so perfect and ideal for me.
Excellent. And your fifth hat. So they're all teetering on the top of your head at the moment. And the one you've had recently is you've been asked to get involved in the Health and Wellbeing Charter.
That's right. So the London Workplace Health Charter, I was recently asked to become a volunteer assessor, which means I will support their public health teams in assessing certain companies that are going for charter status.
Right. So just for anybody who's not heard of this before, what is the charter and what does charter status mean?
So the charter is effectively a kite mark for being a healthy workplace.
Right.
And there are three stages, almost your silver, bronze, gold. And what it does, it provides companies with a roadmap to providing an effective or an optimal workplace health program. And what I love about it is, A, it's very simple. It's easy to do. Most companies, it's not easy to do. There's a lot of work involved to achieve it. But it's incredibly valuable stuff. And it can apply whether you're an SME or whether you're a large multinational. And don't forget, at the moment, when we talk about health and well-being in the workplace, when you look at the big programs, those are usually limited to the companies which have money to throw behind it.
Sure.
The GSKs of the world, the Boobs of the world, who have the big budgets. Bearing in mind, we're in the UK, 5 million businesses, 60% of the workplaces are from SMEs.
Right.
And effective health and wellbeing programs, the really great programs, have been very much the remit of the larger employers. So the charter for me, I love, because it means any company could do it. I've looked at some programs which small businesses have put in place, and they're brilliant. Some great initiatives. Most companies can do these things without paying a penny.
Mm-hmm.
And
to
mention Teresa again. Teresa, yep. She's already done some great work with some SMEs in the Croydon borough. And you can do this with no budget, or even to use her term, and what she's put together is her no budget, low budget, and investment stage. But it's fantastic, because it really is a roadmap which inspires businesses to get going. And it looks across the entire remit. So it's not just about, am I providing the right corporate support? Do I have an employee assistance program in place, or medical insurance, or whatever? It's looking at everything. So right down to job fit, role intensification, and so on. So it really does look at how well the employer, how well is your organization.
Right. So you're now an assessor. For that.
Volunteer assessor.
Volunteer assessor. Oh, good. So no bribes available, folks. Whereabouts are you? What geographic area are you covering for that, or do you not know yet?
So I've just started. I think the first time I'll actually be formally doing it will be in June. It's a day, I think, every quarter where I'll be at the mayor's office and looking at specific companies.
Excellent. Well, we heard recently something like 70,000 small businesses in Kent. So there's a chance for them to get on board with this if they're interested. We've heard an awful lot from you today, and there's an awful lot more we could talk about. But as we always say, the hour has just flown by. So with your man of many hats, if anybody out there has a question for you, what's the best way to get in touch?
Look at Steve Haynes on LinkedIn.
Steve Haynes on LinkedIn. And just to say, I did search for Steve Haynes on LinkedIn, and there were a couple of Steve Haynes. So you're looking for the Steve Haynes Integrated Workplace Health Specialist. That's the tagline that people are looking for. We'll also be posting the various websites for the Workplace Health and Wellbeing Movement, Navigator Health, and MyPINS. They'll all go up on Facebook later today or tomorrow. So if you want to know anything more about those. But otherwise, do get in touch with Steve. It's been great to have you on today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you, Victoria.
We're going now to some events that are on, and Victoria's got the list for us today.
Yes. February is Raynaud's Awareness Month. Raynaud's is a common disorder in which the small blood vessels in the extremities are oversensitive to changes in temperature. You can find out about this on www.raynauds.org.uk.
And could you spell Raynaud's for us?
RAYNAUDS.
We will post it on Facebook, but I just like to get us to spell things.
Of course. February is also National Heart Month, and you can find out all the information about that on www.bhf.org.uk.
And BHF is British Heart Foundation.
Indeed. February the 22nd, which is this Saturday, in Maidstone, Tim Box's one-day workshop, Hands-on Hypnotism, is going on. And for more information, go to www.facebook.com/tim.box.790. Now, there's the Pilgrim's Hospice have a couple of events coming up. The first one is on Sunday the 23rd of March, And it's a rainbow ride and stride, a cycle, ramble or dog walk from Canterbury to Chartham and back. Dress yourself, your dog, your bike in all the colours of the rainbow.
Sounds fun.
This we got to see.
Yes, and pray for good weather.
Indeed. You can find out all about that at www.pilgrimshospices.org or call 01227 812 621. And then on the 4th of May, the Pilgrims Hospices Cycle Challenge. This is a choice of routes between our hospices in Canterbury, Thanet and Ashford of 45, 48 or 78 miles.
Well, you've got to be keen, haven't you?
Oh, goodness.
I'll be there.
Oh, Stephen's signing up.
A cyclist. There you can find out more about that at www.pilgrimscyclechallenge.org or ring 01227 812 621.
So again, we'll paste information about all of those onto Facebook, Twitter and LinkedIn. And also for the pilgrims, if you're keen on the longer cycle rides but you're not sure you're up to it, they are having practice sessions. So check out the pilgrims website and they'll give you lots of information about the practice rides, the meetup groups that you can sign up to as well, but all for a good cause. So if the weather ever improves, that's something to tap into. And we have number six in our acronym quiz.
Yes, number six is HWAS. And if you want a clue about that, that's from week 46, show 42, the interview with Kim Boggins of KB Occupational Health and Safety Services. So good luck with that.
Well, Stephen's being a smart because he's put his hand up. He knows the answer to that one. So there's another clue for you. If he knows the answer, it might be linked to what we've been talking about today. As usual, we'll post the February entries up on Facebook at the end of the month. January's already gone up. There'll be another three in March, if not four. And when we get to 12, the competition starts proper and you can enter to win the prize. The prize is secret at the moment, but it's worth winning. Okay, on next week's show, we have Adrian Kearney of AK Pet Services and Carriers. Adrian will be sharing some fascinating pet and animal stories with us and explaining the importance of pet services to the health and well-being of pets as well as their owners. So stress-free life with your pets, that's what we're looking for. And don't forget, if you've got any questions for our guests or for us, or if you're running an event, attending an event, anything to do with health and well-being that you think our listeners should know about, please do get in touch. If you'd like to be a guest, equally get in touch with us and let us know your topic. All of our contact details can be found by the Channel Radio website. Click on the presenters page and search for either Angela or myself, Jan Mulligan. You can listen again to today's show on Thursday, 12 to 1 on Channel Radio. Also, Channel Radio's Listen Again Mondays link. And if you're really keen on back issues, through Angela's Another Journey Begins website or my Greenleaf Ergonomics. Thank you again, Stephen, for your time today. It's been great to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Victoria, for manning the hot seat and keeping Angela's seat primed and ready for her.
Pleasure.
And have a lovely week, everybody. Enjoy whatever you're doing and keep healthy.